Welcome to another teaching from City Life Church Wollongong. For more information about our church, log on to www.citylife.org.au.
Thanks, guys. Grab a seat. Thank you, Adrian. Adrian killed it last Sunday morning. Would you agree if you were here? Amazing message. Something about getting up again and getting up again. Was that what it was? Something like that. Get up and eat. No, I really, really did genuinely like that message, Adrian. It was a really great word. How good is this summer? It's great. It's good to be in church. Are you liking the kind of different feel, semi-acoustic kind of vibe? I think it's been fun. Yeah, it is awesome. Welcome to church. I'm going to pray before I begin. God, we just thank you for your presence here with us. Thank you that whenever we gather, you are here and you are here with power. God, thank you that right now we can hear from your word. And so, God, I pray that you would really speak through me and just use me for your purpose, God, and help me to get out of the way so that your word can be proclaimed. Thank you, God, for everything you're doing in our lives. Amen. Awesome. So, yeah, we're doing this Welcome to Summer series, which is a lot of fun, but coming up after that is this Friends series, which is going to be great, and it's about building real relationships and relationships that go deeper than Facebook or something like that, and what it means to be a friend. And I think this is really important thing to talk about in church, because, you know, we're in this society that's becoming more and more connected online and less connected in real life. And so I think it's really important that as the church and as followers of Jesus, that we love each other, because that's what we are called to be, and that's what it means to be a Christian. And so I'm excited about that series. It's going to be great. But today, I was about to say tonight, because usually when I speak it's night time, this morning, I'm going to talk about renewal and refreshing and all of those things. And it's going to be great. Yeah. Amen. Are you with me?
Yes.
Good. You excited?
Yes.
You glad you got out of bed and came to church this morning? Good. All right. So it's not so much about resolutions. We get to New Year's and we talk about New Year's resolutions. And I'm going to lose 100 kilos this summer, this year. I don't know. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And often those things kind of fall by the wayside by Australia Day or something, and we kind of give up. And so we're not talking about resolutions. Now, if you've made resolutions, then good luck. Go for it. Do it. Maybe just pick one. That's probably the only way you'll get anything done. But it's not about that, but it's about resting in the grace of God and the power of God for our lives. You know, we're not supposed to live the Christian walk out of sheer willpower. I think sometimes you get to church and or you start to live out as a Christian, and you think, well, I've just got to try harder because I'm not doing a good enough job. And God is saying, yeah, that's the whole point of Christianity. You can't do a good enough job. I did it for you already. That was why Jesus came and died. So now you can just live in the grace that I have given you. Amen. Now you can rest and be renewed in my presence all the time and let him refill and fill your life up day to day. Yeah?
Yeah.
And so it's about being refreshed and it's about being ready. It's not about a holiday. You know, I think we can come to a series like this or a topic like this and think, all right, well, I'll get refreshed. I'll come to Sunday church and I'll get refreshed and God will put something in my heart. The worship was good. I talked to some people. I had a generally good experience and I think that I can probably make it through my week now. I'm refreshed enough, but probably by Friday afternoon, I'm going to be pretty frazzled and Sunday morning, I will barely make it again to be refilled. Is that how anybody feels? No? Good. That's good. You know what you're doing? You know, it's not about having a holiday. We just came back from holidays and it was great. And I love going on holidays, as I'm sure everybody does. But it's not about a holiday time where you get refueled or refreshed and then you spend that energy throughout the year. But it's about a lifestyle of being constantly renewed and constantly refreshed, yeah? Where each day I'm connecting with God and each day I'm receiving his grace in my life and receiving his power in my life so that I can do the thing that he has called me to do. And it's a day-to-day, everyday thing. Amen? Where I live out my life every day. Now, Jesus, he talks about this in Matthew chapter 11. So if you've got your Bible, you can open it up. I'm going to read it from The NIV, and then I'm going to read it from the Message translation, and we're going to go with both of those. So if you've got your Bible, Matthew 11 and chapter 28, it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It says in the Message, it says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Jesus is talking to this crowd of people, and he's saying, "Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you struggling to face the prospect of another year or another day or another whatever?" He's saying, "Are you worn out on these religious ideas? Then come to me and I'll give you real rest. I'll give you rest for your soul." That's what he's talking about. He says, "Come and walk with me and work with me and learn these unforced rhythms of grace." You know, he's not going to put something on us that doesn't fit us, that isn't designed for us, but he's going to put a burden on us that is what he has called us to carry. And when he does that, then we can live freely and lightly, not taking a holiday, not having a rest so that I can go back out to the grind, but living free and light in the grace and the power of Jesus. Does that sound good? Does that sound all right? Does anybody want that? A few people are excited by that. A few people are happy to go about their daily grind. All right. We'll get there. All right. He says, "Come to me who are weary and burdened." He's talking to these people who are under the weight of religious law. So if we go back a little bit in the history, you know, this is the Jewish people that he's talking about. And they'd been given, you know, the law and the Ten Commandments. And we all have we know that Moses and the tablets and all that stuff, yeah? We know that stuff. It happened. And so these are the laws that they follow. But on top of that, the Pharisees, which were like the religious leaders, had come up with all of these other laws, like bylaws, I guess, to make sure that somebody didn't accidentally commit a sin on one of the real laws. And so apparently, I'm not an actual Old Testament scholar, but apparently there were over 600 bylaws about the Sabbath alone. Just one day, that was one thing. One thing that was a commandment. There were over 600 laws about what you could and could not do. And so these people are tired because they've got no idea how to fulfill all these laws when that wasn't the point. The whole idea, I'm going to let you in on a secret, the whole point of the Jewish law was to demonstrate that we couldn't fulfill it. The whole idea from the start was for us to get before God and realize our need for Him and realize that there is no way that I can do everything perfectly all the time and do everything that God has called me to do, let alone do all the extra laws that we made up for ourselves. So I need God. And that's what Jesus is saying to these people. He's saying, "You're tired from trying to do it in your own strength." Now, we don't have the Jewish law, thank goodness. We are free from that, but we still, I think, sometimes put burdens on ourselves of what we think we need to carry. And Jesus is saying to these guys, and he's saying to us, because it's in his word, he's saying, "Come to me if you're tired and I will give you a real rest for your soul." Amen. He's saying, "If you are tired, come and be renewed in me. Come and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Do the thing that I have called you to do and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." He's talking about this yoke, which is, you know, what they would use on an ox to carry the thing to do the grain. That's a pretty technical description of it, hey? Can tell I'm a real country boy. You know, it was the thing that they put on top of the oxen to carry the harvester, the stuff, you know. Don't you just buy bread at Woolworths or Coles? Nobody knows how that all works. Just joking, but really. You know, and so they would design this for this animal. It was designed for the job that it was supposed to do. And sometimes we read yoke and we think about some heavy thing or the yellow part of an egg, I don't know. But come on, that was good. We read it and we think, oh, it's heavy, it's uncomfortable. But it was built, custom built for this animal, yeah? It was custom designed. And God has a custom design plan for you, a custom design burden for you to carry, a custom design thing that he wants you to do, a purpose for you that was designed just for you. And it won't be heavy and it won't be ill-fitting because it's designed for you and because his grace will cover it. And when we run in the rhythm of grace, we are rested and we are renewed because we're doing what we were called to do and we're carrying what we were designed to carry. Amen. And I think we carry so many things that we're not supposed to carry, whether it's guilt or judgment or sin or mistakes or issues or whatever it is. There are things in your life that you're carrying that you know in your heart, I don't want to carry this. And God's saying, don't carry it. Come to me and I'll give you rest. Come to me because my burden is easy. My yoke is light. You know, I'm not going to put something on you that doesn't fit. I'm going to give you something that was designed for you. I've got a plan and a purpose for your life that is amazing and is bigger than you ever dreamed and is something that I want to do with you and I want to be in relationship with you. And so you need to let go of the burdens that you're carrying for yourself or for other people and grab the thing that God has called you to do that. Does that sound good? Yeah. Sound all right? So the question is, my question today, I always like to have a big question in a message. It's like the underpinning question of what is going on in this passage of Scripture. And I encourage you, if you're reading your own Bible, which is a good idea, read it and think, well, what is God saying to me? What's the point here? And so the question today that I want to talk on is how can we let go of the ill-fitting burdens? How can we let go of the things that we're not supposed to carry and grab the yoke that Jesus is talking about, this easy burden, this light yoke, this thing that we are called to carry? How can we do that? Is that a fair question? Good. All right, come with me to Joshua chapter 6, if you have your Bible. Joshua chapter 6, we're going to jump right back into the Old Testament and we're going to look at the story of a town, a city called Jericho. If you were ever in Sunday school, you'd know this story. I don't think I've heard it many times since. But basically what has happened is the Israelites have crossed over into the promised land, the land where God said, this is where your blessing is. This is where you're going to build a home. They'd been wandering in the desert for like 40 years, waiting to get into this spot. And finally they've crossed over and they come up against this big enemy city. Sounds fun. Sounds exciting. You know, we get into the promised land and we think it's all easy, but there are battles for us to win. Even in the promised land, yeah? Even in the when we're right in the middle of the calling that God has for us, there's going to be battles. But the amazing thing is that God is for us and that he is with us and he wants us to achieve the victory. And all we need to do is trust him and obey him. Amen. And it says, so the gates of Jericho, verse 1, were securely barred because of the Israelites. So they knew the Israelites were coming and they were freaking out because they had heard all of these stories about the ocean being parted and the whole of the Egyptian army being killed and all of these other places that the Israelites had defeated. And so then the Israelites come and they set up their tents outside of Jericho and Jericho starts to freak out. Fair enough. Yeah. And so they've got this big city and God says to Joshua, he says, I have delivered. I like it. Nothing's happened yet. It hasn't even started, but God has delivered Jericho. Everything is past tense for God. You know, everything has already happened. He knows the whole lot and he wants us to win, which is amazing. He says, I've delivered Jericho into your hands. Then he says this weird battle strategy, the strangest battle strategy I think I've ever heard. And he says, what you need to do is march around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. The ark is the presence of God. On the seventh day, marched around the city seven times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in. They're crazy. God, I think, just does fun things like this to demonstrate that we have no idea what we're doing and he can do whatever he wants, yeah? And so he says to Joshua, you've got this big army, but they've got these big, you know, stone walls or whatever it was. And so just walk around the wall. And every day, just walk around the wall of this city, blowing the trumpets, making some music, hanging out, whatever. And then on the last day, I want you to walk around the wall seven times. And then I'm going to make the whole wall collapse and you can take the city. And that's exactly what happens, which is crazy. You know, they get up and they go and they walk around the city once a day, every day. And then on the seventh day, it says they get up at daybreak. It's verse 15. And they marched around the city seven times in the same manner. Except on that day, they circled the city seven times. And then the seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And they do it and they shout and the wall collapse and they kill everybody and it's all fun. The Old Testament is violent, isn't it? But they take the victory. And I was looking at this and thinking about this idea of the rhythm of grace, the unforced rhythm of grace. And Joshua, God is saying to Joshua, he says, you've got to learn my rhythm of grace. You can't go in and win this by yourself. The promised land is for me to give you. Let me give it to you. I want you to do well. And so he says, trust me in this. Rest in my grace. Learn the rhythm that I've got. Walk around the city. Just do it because I told you to. And wait and wait and wait and wait. And then on the seventh day, I'll give you the victory. And I think what he's saying to Joshua and to Israel is, learn to trust me. Learn to rest in my power and in my presence. You know, the Israelites get themselves into all sorts of trouble in the following chapters as they try and do things in their own strength and their own effort. And we're exactly the same. You know, when we rest on God, when we wait for his timing, when we learn his rhythm and his grace and we let it be the thing that covers our life, then we can do anything. But when we force it and we try and do it ourselves, that then we end up making a big mess of pretty much everything, yeah? You know, so how do we do that? How do we let go of these things and how do we grab onto that? Well, I've got just a few points. That's handy, hey? You know, I think the first thing we need to do is to know his character. You know, Joshua knew God. He had spent time with God. It says that when Moses would go into his presence, that Joshua would be there and he would stay longer. And he wanted to connect with God. But God still shows him his character. I think that's amazing. God is always revealing himself to us. And no matter how long you've been coming to church, maybe it's your first time or your thousandth time at church, God wants you to know him and he wants to show you more of himself. And so he's saying to Joshua in this very first battle in the promised land, now they're going to fight a lot of battles in the promised land before they can take it. And he says, right here from the start, I'm going to show you who I am. I'm going to show you my character by giving you this victory in a way that is strange and weird and in a way that you can't walk away from and claim any of your own effort. You know, he says, I'm going to do this and all you can do is walk away and say, thank you, God, for your grace. You know, God wants us to do well. He wants us to succeed. Did you know that? Yeah. Did you know that? Yeah. I think sometimes we're waiting for God to smite us. We are sitting there thinking that God is waiting for us to fall over or to trip up or to fail and that he is then going to judge us. But that's not what God is like. That is not his character. He is for us. And the Bible is full of his promises that say he has good plans for us, that he loves us. Like, it just get that stuff into your spirit and into your heart because he wants you to do well. He wants you to live in the grace that he has for you. He doesn't want you to try in your own strength. Yeah, but he wants you to know who he is and to know that he is for you, not against you. Amen. And that's what he's trying to say to Joshua. He's trying to say, I am for you. You are my people. Just sit back and do what I tell you and it'll all work out. Amen. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing. He's trying to get us to get away from this religious idea of God. He's talking to these people burdened by law. And he says, come to me if you're weary and you're tired and burdened, and I will give you real rest. He's saying, I'm God, because Jesus is the Son of God. He is God. And he's saying, come to me, learn from me, learn who I am, and I will give you rest. Because this law, this was all just supposed to point to me and what I am going to do on the cross. And so come to me and learn from me and get an idea of who I am and what you mean to me. You know, God loves us. And when he looks at you, he doesn't see your mistakes and your sin and your guilt and your past, but he sees the blood of Jesus on the cross and he loves us. Come on. When we know him more, we fall more in love with him. I really believe that. Because God just wants you to do well. And when we know that, when we know his character, then we can let go of the things that we're trying to do in our own strength. We can let go of the things that we're trying to do in our own effort. And we can trust in him. And we can carry the thing that we're supposed to carry and not carry anything else. Because we know that he loves us. You know, it says in verse 29 that Jesus says, take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and I am humble in heart. Now, Jesus is a patient teacher. God is a patient teacher, and it's a good thing because we're terrible learners. You know, I don't, some of you know, but I used to teach drums, and I was not always a patient teacher. I can be patient. Like if someone's trying their best, but if my students didn't practice at all, I would just be really annoyed because you can't get anywhere. If you don't practice, you're never going to get better. It's just simple. So I was less than a patient teacher at times. And I was just thinking about Jesus and how he is this amazing patient teacher that we constantly don't practice. Yeah. You know, you get back to Sunday, the next lesson. Did you practice this week or not? Or, yeah, I practiced. It's like, well, show me. Oh, that was the best one, teaching drums. Yeah, I practiced. Okay, play this one. Oh, I can't. Oh, you didn't practice. Oh, no. You know, we think that we get away with it, but we're just little kids to God who's pretty obvious. He can see straight through you, so don't try. But he gives us patience and grace all the time because he loves us. You know, no matter how many weeks go by where we don't practice the things that we've learned, he has patience for us because he loves us. And when we know his character, we can find rest in his presence. When we don't know the character of God, you come into his presence with fear because you're expecting him to guilt you about the things that you've done wrong. But when you know his character, you come into his presence with confidence. That's what it says in Hebrews. In Hebrews, we approach the throne of grace with confidence because he loves us, because we know what he has done for us. Because I know Jesus and I know what he did for me, I can approach the presence of God with confidence and I can rest in it because I know who he is. So how do we do that? We fill ourselves with his word. Know the person, you know, read the stories. Read what God is saying to you. Read what Jesus is saying to us and let that sink into your heart. Get into his spirit. Get into his presence. When we have a time of worship like we did this morning, don't let it slip past, but engage with it and get into it and let God move in your heart. And if that means you've got to raise your hands and clap and sing, then do it. Because why not, really? Yeah. You know, God has done a lot for you. But when we know his character, we can rest in his presence and we can let go of the yoke that we're not supposed to carry, amen? So that was the first one, know his character. Next is to feel his rhythm. This is, you know, Cool Runnings. Feel the rhythm, feel the rhyme. Nobody's going to finish it for me. All right. It's bobsled time. I'm excited about the Winter Olympics. Is anyone else? No? Okay, good. You know, we need to feel the rhythms that God is putting there for us. Now, it's like a band, When you play music with other people, you've got to know the rhythm. You've got to feel the rhythm of what's going on, because if you don't and you try and force your own rhythm, then it sounds awful. And everybody knows, you know, even if you're not musical, you know when somebody's playing out of time or off key because it sounds bad. You know, and that's what we need to do with God. We need to learn the rhythm. He's the one leading the band. We can't try and go off on our own thing. We need to feel the rhythm that He has in our life, trust the seasons and the times and the timing, and wait on Him and walk with Him. You know, that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, come to me, learn from me, walk with me. My burden is easy, my yoke is light. He's saying, it's light because we're going to do it together. But to walk with Jesus means you need to walk with Jesus. Is that, that's pretty obvious. You know, we can't go off on our own thoughts and our own ideas and our own tangent and then feel like we were walking with Jesus, because we weren't. You know, He's walking somewhere and we're playing some other tune. Yeah? You know, in Joshua, God tells him to march around the city for 6 days. Now, this is funny because He doesn't do anything different. And I'm sure that God could have just knocked down the walls as soon as they got there, yeah? Does anybody doubt that? Did they somehow like disturb the foundations of the city by walking around it? No, that's ridiculous. God could have done it in an instant. He could have said, hey, Josh, just hang back and watch this. Bam, city gone. Yeah? That's how I would like God to work in my life. Yeah, are you with me? Just, there's that thing that I want. Bam, done. But God wants to teach Joshua His rhythms of grace. And so He says, so for 6 days, I want you to walk around the city. Just once. Just once around the city. Now, I don't know how big Jericho is, but it's probably a decent walk. And so then maybe they were thankful for only having to do it once and they're not looking forward to that last day. Maybe it was a warm-up, I don't know. But it says just walk around the city and then wait. And then walk around the city and then wait. It says do that for 6 days, and on the 7th day, I will finish it. You know, the 7th day is significant. If you know your Genesis, then on the 7th day it was finished and God rested. And so 7 is always this significant thing. But I'm not, you know, we don't need to go into that a lot. But He's saying, wait, wait, wait now. And that's the rhythm that we need to get from God. You know, we need to learn to hear and to walk in His rhythms of grace. You know, maybe there's a thing in your life and God's just saying, wait, wait, not yet. Just a little bit longer. Wait. And He's saying, there's this thing and you're believing for it and you feel like it's what God has given you and it's what God has promised you, but it hasn't happened yet because you've got to let Him do it in His timing and you've got to learn to feel the rhythm. And then He says, all right, now I will show you the victory, because I've taught you the thing that I wanted to teach you, which was that you can't get things in your timing. You can't fight against the timing that I have, but you need to walk in the rhythm of grace. You know, there's this story right after Joshua and Jericho and this amazing victory. This guy called Achan takes some of the treasure. Now, God had said to them, don't do that. You know, this whole town, this whole city is devoted to me. Don't touch anything. You can have treasure from other places, but this is the first one. This is the first victory, you need to give it all to me. And this guy disobeys him, and there's this total mess because this guy Achan didn't trust in the rhythm of grace, and he wanted it now, and he took it and he died, and everybody died. You know, they go to the next city and they say, oh, it doesn't look too hard, you know, he's gonna win like he did last time. And so they only send a few people to fight heaps of people, and they get killed. And they get beaten and they come back and they're like, well, what was going on? And they find out that this guy had disobeyed what God had said to do and caused big problems. And God is not wanting to hurt us. He wants to bless us, but we need to feel the rhythm, yeah? We need to understand the timing. And when we walk with Jesus, not just for Jesus, that's when we can find it. know, sometimes we walk for Jesus and we're like, oh, I'm a Christian. I believe in him. I'm going to do everything that I can. And so we get so caught up in this whirlwind of our own effort, trying to do the thing that God has called us to do. But Jesus says, walk with me, learn from me. You know, my burden is easy, my yoke is light. Walk with me and I will show you the unforced rhythms of grace. You know, instead of rushing ahead or trying to find our own way, we need to learn to walk in the rhythm that God has for us. Amen. We need to learn to feel his spirit when his spirit speaks to us and says, no, wait on that. No, that what's not for you. No, wait. No, I've got something different. I've got something better. Wait. Okay, now this is the one. Go. I don't know what the situation is in your life that you're waiting on God for, but wait on God for it. Trust him. Feel his grace. Feel his rhythm, yeah. And let him speak and let him move when he wants to move. Amen? Yeah. Awesome. So number one was to know his character. Number two, to feel his rhythm. And number three, to trust in his grace. And we can trust God. He is trustworthy. You know, he never lets us down. He never does anything wrong. We can trust him and we can rest in his grace. We can trust that he has already done everything. Now, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he's talking to this crowd and he's talking to us and he's saying, walk with me, trust me. I've got this covered. You know, just before it, he says, everything has been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. He's saying, I've got everything under control. So trust me, walk with me, learn the rhythm that I've got for you. Take the burden that I've got for you. Let go of the burdens you're not supposed to carry because I've already won the victory. It's already happened. It is past tense. It is done and dusted. You know, everything is there. He has already done it all. Amen? Do you agree with that? Do you know that in your life? Do you know that God has already won the victory, that he has already beaten sin and death? You know, that we don't need to strive and we don't need to fear because the God of angel armies is not only on our side, but has already won. And so we can come in with confidence and we come trusting him because we know that he has already done it all. And so I don't have to strive and I don't have to fear. And that's when I find real rest. You know, when I'm striving, I'm not resting. Does that make sense? Some of these things I feel like they're obvious, but for me, and maybe you're more spiritual and better than me, but for me, I just try and do it myself anyway. You know, it seems obvious, it seems clear in the scripture that I should rest with Jesus, but I'm going to try my best to do it on my own, no matter how many times God tells me he's got it covered. Is anybody with me on that? A few people, good. You know, we need to learn to trust him. And then we find true rest in the grace and the purpose of God. Now, God has a plan for us. He has a thing for you to carry. He's not saying in this passage, come and sit with me. And, you know, we'll play PlayStation and watch TV. I don't know, or whatever you do for in your spare time. He's not saying just sit back and do nothing because I've already done it all. He's saying, I've done it all. I've got it all under control, but walk with me. I want to use you. I want you to be a part of this. And I think that's one of the most amazing signs of God's grace is that he says, I've already done it and I've already won, but I want you to be a part of doing what I have got planned for this earth and for these people. I want you to do your bit to see your world changed. And I'm going to give you everything that you need to do that. And I have already won, but I'm going to let you do it because I love you and I want to give you purpose. And so we can then do what he has called us to do, knowing that he has already fulfilled it and he has already got it under control and we can trust in his grace. Amen. You know, Joshua, he does basically nothing but listen and obey. Yeah? And that's powerful. He doesn't use a catapult or whatever they had then. I don't know what the siege warfare was like in ancient Israel. Maybe you do. You can tell someone who cares later. No, I'm joking. You know, I don't know what it is that they would have done in their own strength to try and take that city. I don't know. I'm sure, you know, Joshua was not stupid. He was a smart guy. I'm sure they got across the river and saw the city and went, all right, how are we going to do this, guys? Then they started to come up with plans. I don't know. But God just says, no, just do what I tell you to do. And I think the best thing that Joshua does and the best thing that we can do is listen to God and do what he tells us to do. Trust in his grace. Amen? Trust the grace of God. I think that's what it means to listen and obey. And that's why Jesus says, he says, learn from me and walk with me. Take my yoke upon you. What he's saying is, listen to the things that I am telling you and do them with me. That's it. Trust in my grace. You know, and that's exactly what Joshua does and exactly what we're called to do. You know, rest in the plan and the purpose that God has, knowing that he has already won the battle for us. You know, we already won. Did you know? We already won. Battle's finished. It's over. We're done. We already won the victory. We can trust in the grace of God and rest in that, yeah? And I think as we go into 2014, it's going to be an exciting year and lots is going to happen and we'll face challenges, but we know we already have the victory in Christ Jesus, amen? And we can trust in him. We can walk in his rhythm and we can know that God is for us. And then when we understand that, then we have this constant renewal and refreshment. That's not once a year or once a week or once every now and then when I open up my Bible, but it's every single day knowing that God has a plan for me, that he rescued me, that he loves me, that he has a timing and a purpose, and that I can listen to his spirit, I can read his word, I can trust his grace. Amen. Yeah. Now, Jesus is saying, and I'll finish with this, maybe if the guys want to come. He says, come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, Jesus is talking about an everyday life with him, but I believe he's also talking about what he's going to do on the cross. And he's saying, you're tired because you're trying to get to God in your own effort and you can't. But come to me because I've got it done. You know, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to die. I'm going to beat death because I'm perfect and I'm God and I'm the Son of God. And I've come to earth because I love you and I have a plan for you. And I can't bear to see you separated from God. And God loves us so much that he couldn't handle that we would be separate from him. And he knows that we can't do it by ourselves. And so he says, well, I'm just going to give you my son to take the punishment in your place. And Jesus is the only one who could fulfill the law that God gave to Moses. Do we understand this? And Jesus didn't come to delete the law. He came to fulfill the law. And so he does everything perfect so that I don't have to. He does everything right so that we, because we can't, don't have to. And all he says to us is, come to me and I will give you rest. Acknowledge me as Lord of your life. Understand that I am God, that everything has been given to me and that I love you. And so I'm going to die for you on the cross. That's what he's saying to his disciples. And that's what he's saying to us. He's saying, come to me if you're weary and I'll give you rest for your souls. You can't do it yourself, but I've already won the victory. I've already gone to the cross. I've already died. I've already risen again and beaten death. I've already taken the weight of your sins. You don't have to be guilty or burdened anymore. You can let go of those things and you can accept my grace and you can trust in that and you can acknowledge me and you can live for me. Amen? So right as we finish, I want to pray. And maybe you've never prayed a prayer to ask Jesus to come into your life before. Maybe you have. But we're all going to pray it together because I think it's a really important thing. Well, it's the most important thing you can ever do. But what we're going to say is, God, I'm sorry for living my own way. I'm sorry for trying in my own effort. I need to trust in your grace. I want you to fill my heart. I want you to forgive me. So I'm going to pray and then you can repeat after me and we'll all do it together so that nobody feels weird. But just pray it boldly if you want to pray from your heart. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I will follow you.
We We hope you enjoyed listening to this teaching from Sea Life Church. And why not join us on a Sunday? We hold multiple services around the Illawarra. For more information, go to www.citylife.org.au.